I've been preaching for a long time, as you know. Began preaching when I was 19. I was pastoring a church when I was 21. And I got a lot of tapes of sermons I preached years and years and years ago. I preached 25 years ago that if we didn't stop the trend toward wearing shorts in public, mixed bathing with the bathing suits that folks were wearing, showing your thighs and have two-thirds of your body in a swimming pool. By the way, however it's wrong to dress off the beach, it's wrong to dress that way on the beach. I mean, it's just as wrong to, if it's wrong to wear something on dirt, it's wrong to wear it on sand. If it's wrong to wear something on grass, it's wrong to wear it on sand. And but I said to my people in a little country church in East Texas 25 years ago, I said, the day's going to come, and I've got this on tape somewhere. The day's going to come in 25 years, and I said, in less than 25 years, unless we get to where we stand against the partial nudity of our day, when we'll have complete nudity in America. I said, as a country preacher in East Texas, I said, the day's going to come in our generation where people will go swimming in the nude unless something happens in America. But brother, it's here. I mean, it's here. If we'd had enough sense to put skirts on our girls instead of shorts 25 years ago, we wouldn't have a bunch of streakers going around the country today. If we'd made our boys dress modestly, decently, and hadn't listened to Dr. Spock's filth about not spanking them, we wouldn't have a bunch of rebels running around naked. And another thing, too. If we'd get some paddles on these kids running around here naked and take advantage of the fact that there's nothing on their bottoms and blister them, we'd cure a lot of this stuff. You don't like that? Well, you don't have to, but you got to take it if you stay in the auditorium. And don't try to leave. We'll tackle you. But here we are. Who would have believed it? Who would have believed it? Who would ever have thought that in our colleges, a bunch of fools and idiots could strip naked and run across a basketball court and get by with it? Who would ever thought that policemen would watch them parading down the streets naked and arrest nobody? Who'd ever thought it? Move over, Sodom. Here comes America. Who'd ever thought it? Who'd ever thought that in many of our states in America, a high school basketball game would be interrupted by some naked fool running across the court, and the fella wouldn't. Listen, I can recall when, brother, if you got arrested for indecent exposure, you went to jail. And you stayed a while. And parents trembled. And men went to penitentiary. I mean a penitentiary. For going around exposing themselves. Now it's a fad. Just a cute little fad. No, it's not. It's a hellish sin. Who had ever thought it? Who'd ever thought that college administrators, like one in our area, said, oh, well, we all have that in us. Yeah, we all have murder in us, too. Somebody used to say, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, did you ever want to divorce your wife? Said, nope. Wanted to kill her like several times. But never wanted to divorce her. Who'd ever thought it? Who'd ever thought that college presidents, you know why? By the way, most of them don't really think it. They're just scared to lose their jobs. And they're afraid of the students. If a student revolted, the president might get killed. I 10,000 times rather die standing up for decency than acquiesce and compromise for filth. Well, Brother House, I still see anything wrong with streaking. I know, you're what's wrong with this country too. You're the problem. Ahab came to Elijah and said, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? Elijah said, nope, you got it all mixed up. Thou art he that's troubling Israel. No, it's not the fundamentalists causing trouble in America. When the fundamentalists had America and had Princeton University and had Yale and had Harvard and had our nation, we had decency and respect for authority and honor and integrity in this nation. No, it's not the fundamentalists. It's not the rabble-rousing fundamentalists causing trouble in this nation, brother. It's the pink liberals that are running our country with a communist philosophy of freedom of choice and freedom to do wrong and loose morals and permissiveness and all the rest of the communist filth that's been spread across this country. And most of it has started in our universities. Somebody said, Brother Hiles, aren't you worried we'd have some streakers tonight? You put a half-page ad in the paper. Yeah, I got all the doors guarded right now, and I've got special guards all the doors right now. But I'll bind you one thing. If a streaker runs through this building tonight, I'll be arrested for assault and battery. Now, I mean, it's just... But wait a minute. Are you clapping because I'd get arrested? Who'd ever thought it? Who'd ever thought it'd happen right here in the high schools in this area? If you got a kid, I mean this, in one of these schools where they allow streakers, I'd grab that kid out of school so fast and put him in a Christian high school. Who'd ever thought it? Who'd ever thought it? Well, you say it's a land of freedom. That's not what our forefathers had in mind. No, sir. When Benjamin Franklin and George Washington and Adams and others drew up the laws and the standards and for this nation, they didn't have in mind the kind of freedom that allows people, hey boys, listen to me. They didn't have in mind the kind of freedom that lets folks run naked up and down the streets. No, they didn't have that in mind. But the funniest thing about it, I'm sorry, the most peculiar thing about it, the stupidest thing, is for them to say, it's just a little fad that'll pass off the scene. Well, that's strange. Yeah, it may sort of pass off the scene, but something more filthy will take its place. See, they said wearing shorts in public, by the way. People say, Brother Hiles, you're sort of peculiar. Check my sermons 15 years ago when I came to this church. They haven't changed a bit. Same old stuff. I mean, far as I know, it's not a conviction I had 15 years ago, I don't have tonight. And by the way, if God will give me a sound mind 15 years from tonight, it'll be the same stuff. Same thing. Now, but what's happened is this. We have traded one fad for a worse fad. And brother, the moral decay of this country will not pass away. I don't care how many times the politicians stand up and they say, our young folks are the best young folks America's ever had. Yeah? Yeah? You're pretty smart. You want to get some votes, don't you? The truth is, our young folks aren't the best young folks America's ever had. I'll go a step further. I don't think they're the most intelligent young folks America's ever had. I think the most intelligent young folks America ever had was when I was a young person. Truth is, the 40-year-olds in America are the most intelligent 40-year-olds we ever had. I'm talking about in the 40s now. No, I don't think so. I think they may know more about politics, but they know less about work. Pardon me, that's a dirty four-letter word. I'm sorry, young folks. Less about work. They know more about political science, history, but less about decency. They know more about what's taught in universities, science, literature, so forth, geography, pollution, so forth. But they know less about integrity and honor, character. Truth is, streaking didn't start a few weeks ago. Streaking started years and years and millenniums ago. First streakers were Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And by the way, second streaker was Noah. In Genesis 9:22, Noah was a streaker. In fact, he stayed naked and went to sleep and slept naked in Genesis 9:22. A third group of streakers in the Bible were the Israelites in Exodus 32:25, when Moses and Aaron and Joshua had gone up on Mount Sinai. Moses and Joshua? Yeah, on Mount Sinai, and came back with the tablets of stone, and Joshua said, "I hear some music." That's not the music of happiness. That's the music, that's Egyptian music. That's their rendition of rock music. And by the way, brother, rock music's had as much to do with our taking off our clothes as anything in the whole world. You say, "I'll be glad when you're finished." You got a long time before you're going to be glad. And Joshua said, "That sounds like Egyptian music, the lustful kind of sensuous Egyptian music." They came back and they found that Aaron had let the people hand in their earrings and their jewelry, and had built a mold like a golden, like a calf, and had placed the gold in the calf, mold of a calf, and they had it come out a golden calf. They're bowing down, worshiping the golden calf, and they were drinking, and there was nudity, and the Bible says they were naked, and there was lustful music, and there was dancing, and there was false religion, and those were a crowd of streakers. Next streakers you find in the Bible, next streaker you find in the Bible is King Saul. 1 Samuel 19, verse 24, when Saul was chasing David, the Bible said Saul was naked. He ran to a certain place naked and slept day and night, unclothed. Next streaker you find in the Bible is Bathsheba. 2 Samuel 11, verse 2, David saw her bathing. Then you find also in the Bible, three times you find streakers. Read about it a while ago in Luke chapter 8. Starting verse 26 and following, where this fellow was possessed of a devil, and he was running around in the tombstones. By the way, I wish the streakers have enough respect to do that nowadays. Running on the tombstones, naked, gnashing his teeth, gnawing his tongue, wobbling on the ground, naked, streaking in and out of the tombstone. What's wrong with it? Demon possessed. That's what's wrong with the streakers today, too. Same thing happened not only in Luke chapter 8, it happened in Mark chapter 9, verse 18, when Jesus came back from the Mount of Transfiguration, and he saw a man came to him and said, My son tears his clothes off, he wallows on the ground, he foams at the mouth. I came to the disciples and asked them to cast out the devil, and they could not. Said, "If you can do anything, have mercy on us." And Jesus said, if thou hast faith," he said, "with God all things are possible." And Jesus cast out the devil. But bear in mind this, the naked fella was demon-possessed. Same thing is true in Acts chapter 19, verse 16. A fellow was demon-possessed and is naked. A streaker running up and down, naked. Why? Demon-possessed. And brother, let me tell you something. It isn't an accident that the dirty movie The Exorcist and others just like it are coming along the same time that nudity is coming along. I mean, as the devil gets more popular, clothes get less popular. Then there was young man at the trial of Jesus in Mark chapter 14, verses 51 and 52, was a streaker. The Bible said he took off his clothes and ran off naked. Would you believe who the last streaker in the Bible, the last one I'm going to mention tonight is? The Pope. The first Pope, old Peter himself, was a streaker. Hey, you Catholic friends, think about that for a while. Huh? Your Pope, at least on one occasion, didn't wear a long flowing robe. He wore a long flowing disrobe. Huh? He had denied the Lord, cussed, Took his clothes off, went fishing, naked. But when Jesus came, he grabbed his fisherman's coat, the Bible says, and put it on. Now that's who the streakers are in the Bible. What's God's opinion about it? That's the second thing I want to call your attention. What's God's opinion? Well, let's go back to the first streakers. Adam and Eve were naked. When they sinned, they realized their nakedness. They streaked through the Garden of Eden, and God followed them. Finally, God pulled them out behind the bushes and found them naked. Adam and Eve made fig leaves, made a bikini. By the way, bikinis are just almost as bad as nakedness. And God made them what? Coats! Coats! And so God was against the first streakers. What does God think about this? When Moses came back from the mountain, and the folks were streaking around, lewd, rock music. By the way, brother, if back yonder several years ago at Woodstock and a few of these other hell holes, if we'd had enough courage, and enough, I mean, to call out the army and call out the National Guard. Listen, they went, they called out the National. Young folks back here, Sue, listen to me while I'm preaching. If we'd had enough courage, call out the National Guard to let the Negroes in University of Alabama, and I'm not fighting that. I'm saying, if you're going to call them out for that, call them out for Woodstocks. Well, you say, there's 50,000 of them there. Well, there's 50 million Germans in World War II. We gave them our pastures, bragged on them so they wouldn't... Listen, brother, when you brag on somebody to keep him from throwing a stone through your business, you're a coward, a liar. Bragged on them and said, the finest kids we ever saw. Bunch of dope-taking, nude, rabble-rousing, rock music, communist-inspired kids who tried to wreck and ruin our nation while we were afraid! Afraid! I said, afraid! I'd rather die than be afraid of a crowd like that. People said, "Well, the house, aren't you afraid you'll get killed the way you preach?" No, sir, I'm afraid I'll die not preaching the truth. So, Adam and Eve came back, and God clothed them. Israelites, Moses came from on the mountaintop. Moses saw the people naked, and Moses said, "Good night to all naked. It's just a fad. Just passing through a fad. Besides, I won't get reelected if I tell them what I really believe." No, sir. Moses wasn't like some of you pussyfooters. Moses grabbed that pillar, golden calf, and ground it to powder, and put it in water, and said, "Drink it, drink it, drink it." Lost his temper and said, "Who's on the Lord's side? Let him." You say, "Little house, I just believe that a preacher ought not to lose his temper." Get you a Bible. Amen. Just get you a Bible. Brother, the men of God in America tonight ought to lose their tempers about the lewdness and the wickedness and the sharing of dormitory rooms and apartments and dormitories by our college students and the dirty communist philosophy trying to wreck and ruin this country and the permissive kind of a love that tried to take away everything that's holy and decent and right anymore. There ought to be holy indignation and fighting and anger and temper about such filth and garbage as that in our country. Sure, I think you ought to love. Billy Sunday used to say you can't love flowers unless you hate weeds, and you can't love right unless you hate wrong. You can't love a little child playing on the grass in the yard unless you hate the rattlesnake, the viper that's about to take his life. What's God's opinion about nakedness that accompanied demon possession? Leviticus chapter 18, sometimes you read it and you'll find that God says we're not supposed to look upon our mothers while they're naked. And by the way, let me stop and say this too. That child psychology book that told you to let your daughter look on you without any clothes on to get adjusted and used to the beauty of the nude body. That psychologist doesn't know God's word, and he doesn't know God. Leviticus 18 verses 6 and following says, a child should not see his mother naked. And says a child should not see his father naked. It says that a person should not see his brother naked. You folks that let your kids bathe together, beware of that kind of stuff. A child should not see his sister naked. A child should not see his half-brother naked. A child should not see his half-sister naked. A child should not see his aunt naked. A child should not see his uncle naked. A child should not see his daughter-in-law naked. A child should not see his son-in-law naked. A child should not see his father-in-law naked. A child should not see his sister-in-law naked. A child should not see his brother-in-law naked. A child should not see his grandparents naked. That's God's word. Look it up for yourself. Read Leviticus chapter 18 sometime. Start with verse 6. Look it up for yourself. It's not the will of God for you, your children, to see you unclothed. Say, well, it's just, we want the child to see the male body. Well, just check the Bible. Well, you say, I read a book. Won't you read this book for a while? What does God think about it? God hates it. In fact, God hates nakedness so much when he chose something to say about the Babylon, mystery Babylon, mother of harlots, the false religion that'll be headed up someday by the false prophet himself and the Antichrist himself. They'll be destroyed in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. When God used a word to describe their condition, he chose nakedness. He said, "You're naked." When God spoke to the church at Laodicea, that wicked, people-pleasing, worldly church, the one that was the worst church of them all probably, when God spoke about that church at Laodicea and God wanted to describe how awful they were, he said, "You're wretched and miserable and blind and naked." God chose the nakedness as a symbol of something awful and bad. Now I want you to notice something else about streaking. We found out who did it and God's opinion about it. I want you to notice the accompanying sins of nakedness in the Bible and streaking in the Bible. You see, sin never runs by itself. No sin ever runs alone. Never does. Sins join hands one with the other. And when some sin comes through the door of your life, you look right behind it, brother. It's holding hands with another sin that's just about to come in. Let's take, for example, the first streakers, Adam and Eve. What sin accompanied their nakedness after they had eaten the forbidden fruit? Rebellion against God. They chose the devil. They ate the forbidden fruit, rebelled against God's authority, rebelled against God's word. Let me tell you something, brother. Naked people never love this Bible. The nude crowd. The lewd crowd. It's contrary to the word of God. What sins accompanied Noah? When Noah was streaking, homosexuality, drunkenness, as America legalized liquor, she started stripping off her clothes. And as America began to bathe in legalized liquor, until nowadays it's almost embarrassing not to drink in public. As America legalized liquor and began to wallow in the quagmire of John Barleycorn, America began to strip off her clothes. Where do folks go the most? Look! Go to a restaurant to eat sometime and see how the waitresses dress. Most of them have fairly decent dresses on. If you go to a restaurant where they don't serve any liquor at all, you'll find most of the waitresses have their dresses down almost to the top of their knee. But you go to a restaurant that serves liquor and the waitresses have shorter dresses. Then you go right around the corner to the bar and see what that hussy's got on. Or what she doesn't have on. You know, you fellows that travel some, you know what I'm talking about. You go to a Holiday Inn and go to the restaurant to eat. A waitress will serve you that has fairly decent clothes on. But you walk right outside and look right in the next room, and where the bar is, where the lounge is, some little playboy kind of bunny is over there serving. Why? No liquor, longer skirts. Little liquor, shorter skirts. A lot of liquor, no skirts. Why? Drunkenness, drinking, always hand in hand with nudeness. So, Noah's sin, when he streaked, homosexuality, and drunkenness. The Israelites, when they streaked, in Exodus 32, 25 and following, what sins accompanied that? False religion? By the way, did you know the more fundamental a person is, the more clothes he wears? The more he believes this book, the more clothes he wears. Most of you mini-skirted gals go to churches that don't take a real strong stand. And then the ones that wear no skirt go to churches that don't believe this book. And the nude ones don't go to church at all. It's direct proportion. What accompanied the sin, the streaking for the Israelites? False religion, dirty music. And I say this, brother, dirty music is a twin with nudity. What else? Dancing? Back when you and I were kids. You and I. Not many of us are you and I anymore. But back when I was a kid, you know what kind of dancing they had. Huh? Cheek to cheek. Hum me some dance number, would you, brother? I never did do it. Personally, I'd always do the hug sitting down myself. I'm going to hug. I hate to walk around a room while I'm hugging. But when that kind of, when they're, what happened? When that kind of dancing? Some of you don't like this, do you? You know why? You've been hobnobbing with some compromising preacher, and it's just a little strange. You'd hear somebody let you have it every once in a while. He said, I won't come back anymore. That's why I'm going to be sure you get a good dose while you're here. I don't like you. You're not my favorite person either. Back in the old days when you had the ballroom dancing, what happened? The dresses were slipping off the top. They wore these gownless evening straps. Pardon me. Strapless evening gown. And the dresses were slipping off the top. Now with a new dancing, Isn't that dumb? I mean, honestly, we got a pooch hound at our house that can do stuff like that. Isn't that dumb? I mean, that's real culture. Go to a college campus to get educated. Real culture. You fool. Good night. Why in the world haven't you got enough sense to realize that in itself is pagan? You say, your preaching's uncouth. Not near as uncouth as your wiggling. Now, honest truth is, dancing accompanies taking off the clothes. Midriffs, topless, bottomless, and all the rest of it. What sins accompany nudity, rebellion, homosexuality, drunkenness, false religion, dirty music, dancing? What sins accompanied Saul streaking, attempted murder? What kind of condition did Saul find himself in when he streaked? He's trying to get David and kill him. Saul didn't go naked when he was right with God. Saul didn't go naked when he was little in his own eyes. Saul didn't go naked when he was in the will of God, when he was the man that God chose to be the king, first king of the great nation of Israel. No! Saul reserved his nakedness for when jealousy crept in his soul. I'll kill him! And three times Saul tried to kill David, and a third time Saul stripped himself naked day and night and streaked. What other sin accompanies nakedness? In the case of Bathsheba, adultery, murder, lewdness, filthy, vile, sensual, sexual kind of living always accompanies it. Always does. Brother, when America lost her clothes, she lost her morals. When she lost her morals, she lost her clothes. Murder. How about the streaker in Gadara? Demon possession. How about the streaker in Mark 9? Demon possession. How about the streaker in Luke 19? Demon possession. How about Peter when he streaked? I mean, old Pope Peter the First. He said, I go fishing. And I'm going to streak all the way. Peter out on the lake fishing naked. What kind of sins did he commit? What kind of sins accompanied his nakedness? Cursing. Hey, you folks that think Peter was the first pope, why don't you put that in your prayer book? I mean, the cursing he did. Cursed, deny Jesus, I'm not one of them. Well, you sound like it, you have a southern accent. I don't care, I'm still not one of them. And as soon as he decided to get right with God, listen to me, as soon as he decided to get right with God, the first thing he grabbed was his clothes. And if some of you little gals running around here with your miniskirts on, get right with God, the first thing you'd do is lengthen your skirts. First thing you'd do. Fourth thing. First was who were the streakers in the Bible. Second, God's opinion about it. Third, the accompanying sins. Number four, God's judgment upon streakers in the Bible. When Adam and Eve sinned, a whole race fell. The first streakers in the Bible carried with their nudity and with their accompanying sin the whole race. And every child that's ever been born has been born with a taint and curse of sin on him because Adam and Eve were lewd in Eden's garden. God judged Noah with a whole race being cursed. Noah was naked. His son Ham saw his nakedness. I think there's no doubt in my mind, but that when he said this, he knew his father. Ham knew his father. When Adam knew Eve, they had a child. When Ham knew his father, I think he committed the awful sin of homosexuality. What happened? God placed a curse upon the descendants of Ham, the Canaan, his son. God's judgment upon the Israelites was they lost their faith. Wandered 40 years in the wilderness. God's judgment against Saul. He lost his throne. He was judged and killed. And God's judgment against David and Bathsheba because of the streaking and the accompanying sins. Caused the sword not to be lifted off David's house the rest of his life. A little baby was born, lived a little while and died. David had a daughter and a son. His daughter named Tamar and a son named Amnon. Amnon raped his own sister, the judgment of God still hovering, that cloud of judgment over David's house. When Amnon raped Tamar, Absalom, another brother, was so furious, he had a party in honor of Amnon. He made the folks think that, had a party, and he made like he was honoring Amnon and killed his own brother. The sword was still hanging like a cloud over the house of David. That isn't all. Absalom rebelled against his father and tried to take over the throne, and David left the palace and left the city of Jerusalem. And marched a lonely and sad man, the darkest day of his life, with his own son, guilty of treason against his father. But that isn't all. That old cloud still hangs over his house. David saw the dust of battle back in Jerusalem. Out comes the servant, the messenger Ahimaaz. And David said, "Is the young man safe? Is my boy Absalom safe?" Ahimaaz didn't know, but the old slow but sure Cushai came. David said, "Is the young man safe?" Hushai said, "The young man's like all the rest of your enemies. He's dead." And David goes up some winding stairway to a room up above, crying, "Oh, Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son." Now listen to me. I think David was a sinner. But David never would have done what he did if Bathsheba had kept her clothes on. There are a lot of men. Now you listen to this. There are a lot of men. Are serving time in a penitentiary tonight for rape. And they ought to. And one of the best ways in the world for us to cure the rape problem we have is put some of the rapists in the electric chair. We say, "I don't believe in capital punishment." Well, join the rest of the Bible disbelievers then. Amen. Bible rejectors. You're not smarter than God. Neither is our government. And our states are finding out that you cannot take capital punishment away and still operate a society. I was in Pennsylvania just last week. The legislature in Pennsylvania voted capital punishment back in Pennsylvania. Why? It won't work when you go against the Word of God. It won't work. It won't work. And so, David was judged. A lot of these fellas in the penitentiary tonight for rape. They ought to be there. But you little bottom-flinging gals ought to be right beside them. You little wiggling, miniskirted-wearing gals that luff and tight sweater-wearing gals and bosom showing gals that love for the lustful eyes and the evil minds of men to park on your doorstep. You little tease you. You didn't do anything overtly wrong except you stirred the lustful passions of wicked men, and those wicked men went out and raped some innocent young lady or girl, or they committed some awful sin, and tonight they lie behind the cell bars of the penitentiary, and you ought to be there too. And so should the dirty operators of the Calumet Theater down here on Calumet. And so should the dirty, filthy operators of the adult bookstore over here. And the topless shine part and all the rest of them ought to be in the same penitentiary. And we send away the fellows who are victims of their preying on their minds and wicked thoughts. And we send them away. And yet let the real criminals run loose in our nation. God's judgment was on David, Bathsheba. His judgment was on Saul, on the Israelites, on Noah, on Ham, on Adam and Eve and the whole race. And God's judgment is going to fall on this little streaking generation of lewd whoremongers. Now may I say this? What's God's attitude toward the people? In spite of the fact that they're wicked, He loves them. The same God that sent fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah is the God that said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have gathered thee. There's a wonderful passage in Romans chapter 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Paul's talking about how wonderful God's love is. And Paul asked the question, who can ever separate us from God's love? In Romans chapter 8 and 35. Here's what the dear Lord says. Shall tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. God still loves the streaker. And this, listen, you say, you hate the streaker. No, I don't. I hate the society that allows it. People oftentimes say, First Baptist Church has hate. You wait till you fed as many poor kids as we have before you say that, Buster. Amen. You wait till you get about 800 people that get up on Sunday morning when it's 20 below zero and go out to the bus barn about 6 o'clock in the morning. And people that work from 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning and drive buses on 20 below zero days and spend 6 and 8 hours on Saturday up and down the streets of Chicago trying to get poor little kids that nobody loves and cares for to come on the bus and feed them a hamburger so they'll have a decent meal while they come. You wait till you spend about 20 hours a week that you take off and loaf. You wait till you do that for hungry folks before you say, we don't have love. We got more love in our thimble than you got in your shoe. No, we don't hate people. We don't hate the streaker. Not a streaker in this town. But what if he's hungry? I wouldn't feed him tonight. We had a couple come in the office midnight, all before midnight one night. 16-year-old girl, pretty as she can be. She had on blue jeans. I'm sorry, she was having on blue jeans. They were just sort of, well, you just prayed all the time she's there, they'd stay up. And they came in, they had a stick over their shoulder. Each had a stick over his shoulder. The boy was 17, didn't even shave, had a little face, looked like a baby's cheek. Little girl looked like your daughter or mine. She's 16, he's 17. They said, can we sleep in your basement tonight? I said, I'll get you a place to sleep. I'll get you a warm meal. Where are you from? Out east. Where are you going? Out west. What for? Just bumming around the country. Hippies. I said, sure. I said, I'll call a hotel, little lady, and get you a nice place to stay. And sir, I'll put you down at the rescue mission, give you a warm bed, and we'll serve you a good meal before you go to bed tonight. And he said, I'll stay where she stays or I won't stay. And I said, I'm sorry, kids. But I won't be a party in your communal kind of living. And I won't provide you a bed to share. I'll provide you the nicest bed I can provide you. I'll put each one of you in a Holiday Inn in a different room, but I won't provide you a bed to share. As I wept, a little girl turned around and walked off with that boy. Somebody's, some mother, father, home crying, wondering where she is. Some poor mother brokenhearted. Some poor dad. You know why? Some little demon of a school teacher spreading Karl Marx philosophy sat behind a desk and tried to destroy the home and the sanctity of everything that's decent and right and ruin the faith. I'd rather be a pimp at the judgment bar of God than be a school teacher like that. That poor little girl traipsing across the country with a boy 17 years of age. Both of them ought to be tucked in bed at night by mother and dad who loves them and cared for and sit at mama's table and enjoy the security of a father that traipsing across the country. First Baptist Church has hate. You wait till you spend as much time as our people spend helping people who are retarded and the deaf and the blind. You get your rescue mission operated full time before you say we have hate.
Amen.
All the churches in Hammond had a rescue mission. Couldn't keep it in business. All Columbia. Every church in Hammond except us had a rescue mission. Couldn't keep it in business. We started one, been in business now for 10, 12 years. No. You see, we do have hate. We hate wrong. We hate the devil. We hate communism. We hate socialism. We hate the liquor traffic. We hate the dope. We hate narcotics. Sure, we have hate. And if you don't, the Bible says in Psalm 97, he that loveth righteousness hateth evil. Nowhere in the world you can love right without hating evil. Nowhere in the world. But God's attitude is an attitude of love. What's the cause for it? We've just been taking off less and less. Did you know in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 4:11 when it mentions, did you know that the original word for nakedness is scantily clothed? Did you know when you just wear a little clothing, God calls you naked? Did you know five times in the Bible, scantily clothed is called naked, and one time in the Bible, wearing your undergarments in public is called naked? What's the cure? I know what the cure is. Here's this guy. I asked Brother John tonight if he'd demonstrate my message, but he wouldn't do it. Here's this guy. He's running through the gray. Yeah! Yeah! Ah! Ah! Yeah! That'll sound good on the tape, won't it? You wait till that pastor in London gets my tapes every week, hears that. Streaking through the woods, naked, foaming at the mouth. Streaking through the grave and tombstones. What's wrong? He's naked. Why? He's demon-possessed. Here comes the Savior along. Savior reaches out, cast out the devil. Where's he cast the devils? Huh? He cast them into the pork chops and Armour's Star ham and bacon. And these, when the devils went inside these pigs, they did exactly what every pig ought to do, ran and jumped in the river. And Mr. Swift was looking at those pigs and wondered, he said, good night. Mr. Armour said, it's a sad day. Think of all the premium hams Brother Sully could eat. Well, let's see how the fellow's doing. One that was going through the graves, screaming, hollering. Let's find him. Hey, where'd he go? Where's the screaming? It's gone now. Where's that naked fella? Hey, look at him. He's clothed. And in his right mind. You know why? Jesus had come by. Jesus had come by. That's the need. That's the answer. What this whole country needs is Jesus.
Amen.
It's Jesus. Say, well, Brother Hounds, I don't want to be a Christian because I want to be happy. I want to enjoy. You don't know the story.
Amen.
No, you don't know the story. You don't see the end of it. I see the end of it. You see, after the little cycle has run its course, the last stop is a pastor's study. I see them when they're finished. I mean, I see the clothes when they're turned out. I catch them on the last stop after they've run through all the devil's temptations and wiles. I catch them then. Oh, they're not happy. come to my office. Boy, they said, I'd like to take a trip. I'd like to take a trip. Boy, they get some marijuana or LSD or other kind of dope, and they take it, and boy, they fly away on clouds, and they have what they call religious experiences. For a while, boy, they wine and dine. Join a caravan of hippies or young people that live like animals. But then the time comes when I've seen them sit on a sofa in my study. What's wrong? I'm having a reaction. I need some dope. I've seen them laid down on the floor in my study. Hey, devil, in hell, put that in your advertisement.
Amen.
Flash that on television.
Amen.
I'll tell you who has real happiness. People that just lose themselves in the lives of Christ. There's a lady here right now. She may be the happiest person in this room. I won't call her name. Many of you know who she is. She works. She's looking for a job right now. If any of you folks have someone who's sick, an invalid maybe, you need someone to sit with her. She may come in your home, won't charge you a thing. Just give her a place to sleep and a room to pray in. That's all she wants. A place to sleep and a room to pray in. She's been caring for an invalid up in Michigan. And every Sunday morning with a Sully at 11 o'clock when I stand to preach, she's on her face begging God to help me. And every Sunday night, a lot of the power and blessing and all, a lot of the conversion we've had in this place because that little saint of God working for nothing. Her husband was a preacher. He died several years ago. I've driven down these streets when it's 5 and 10 below zero. I've seen her out with just a little coat on, simple pair of shoes, going up down the streets telling folks about Jesus. I've seen her witnessing more than any person in this church. She takes no salary. The other day she came and handed me 3 envelopes. About $51 in each envelope. She said that's for some needy college student. This morning she's outside my study door. She said, have you found me a job yet? She wants no money. Place to stay and a place to pray. That's a pretty good outline, isn't it? Place to stay and a place to pray. She handed me an envelope. She said, give this to some needy person. She said, you can put it for some college or high school student or use it anywhere you want to use it for somebody that's in need. She hadn't had a new dress. I doubt if she's had a new dress in 15, 20 years. I doubt if she's ever had a new pair of shoes since her husband died. I opened the envelope and what it was. It was one of our direct obligation notes. You know how much it was?